I started about 3 years ago,
went on my own,
made every mistake going.
My wife will book me onto your pound event course.
And then when I went, it was just like, bang, light bulb moment. I came home and I was like, we're doing everything wrong.
What's the total value of the whole portfolio that you've got now?
Be a minimum of 1.3 million.
You can either invest in your education or you pay for your mistakes.
That's it with property, is if you do it right, it's very passive. 275 we paid for it. We've got a 60 grand refurb on it, and the commercial refinance on it, we're looking at 460. I feel like the property game is like, I'm in a corridor and there's doors everywhere. You've got to break through that door and then you come to another door. And then I joined Academy and I feel like you are there. Just kick it door through, and then I just walk through it. I'm like, oh, that was easy.
James, congratulations on your huge success in property. You've been buying all kinds of big properties in your hometown. Why don't you just talk a little bit about how you got into property and what you've been doing?
Thank you. So I started about 3 years ago in total. Went on my own, obviously, like everybody does. Made every mistake going. I bought a property, flipped it into an HMO, spent way too much money on it, made it really nice. Big issue with council on that one, because I learned hard way, straight away. They told me that I didn't have to get tenants in it before Article 4 came in. I just had to finish it, which I did. So then we tenanted it, all going well. Then when I come to refinance it, after I'd come to your pound event and then thought, hang on a minute, why am I paying a repayment mortgage? Let's get it refinanced, pull some money back, aren't it? Then when I did that, they wanted a certificate of lawful development, and then the council declined it because our ASTs didn't start until after Article 4.
Did you lose money?
No, I didn't lose money, but I couldn't keep renting it as an HMO like we'd planned. So we had to drop it down to two tenants. And then I did a bit of digging and found a loophole that I could then rent it out to an assisted living company, because that falls under Category 3B.
And we'll go into that in detail later, sure, which is great. When we met, was that your only property?
That was my only property, yeah.
Which had been a little bit of a disaster.
Yeah, to say the least, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you often hear me say, you can either invest in your education or you pay for your mistakes.
Exactly, yeah, and we paid for his mistakes.
Yeah.
And then I swore I were never going to make a mistake like that again. And then I come across you on YouTube, and I was like, who's this? Every time I typed a question in, you'd pop up on a video. And I was like, this guy knows his stuff. And then it was my wife who booked me onto your pound event course. And right up to that morning, I weren't going to go. I was like, oh, I don't need to go. And then when I went, it was just like, bang, light bulb moment. Yeah. I came home and I was like, we're doing everything wrong. Completely changed everything that we're doing. And then I went back to the BRR to an SA course. Yeah. And then I was hooked and I was like, this is what I need to do. Then I realised I need to invest in my education, because you don't know what you don't know. And there were questions I didn't even know I needed to ask that were getting answered for me. So then I joined Academy and it just has gone, I have to pinch myself now, because it's just gone absolutely mental.
So you've got some big projects on the go.
Yeah.
What deals have you done, or what have you got going on, or what's happening now?
I've sold a couple of deals. I did a bit of deal selling. It took a lot of time, because it's not as easy as you think it's going to be to start with, but I got the training, I got set up, sold a couple of deals, made some quick, fast cash. But then I thought, I need to specialise in what I want to do, and that's BRR to HMO. So we started investing into that, and I got a little bit of cash to start with myself, which I'd built up over years, because I used to be a gas plumber and I got my own business. But I soon realised that that weren't going to go far fast. So then when I did your Never Use Your Own Money Again training, and then realised that actually there's investors out there who'll happily invest their cash into deals when you're guaranteeing them returns and money back and stuff like that. And then it's just blown up, and now we've just completed on his fifth one, which is about to start in about 3 weeks on refurb. We're halfway through a 10-bed at the moment, which is a nice project. I were looking at the ROI again last night on that, and even fully managed, we're on about 1,050% ROI.
1,050%?
It's ridiculous, isn't it? Because it's nearly full money out, obviously, so it's knocking at the door at infinite. We only leave about $5,000 in it. We paid $270,000 for that.
Yeah.
We're pumping $60,000 refurb into it, and then we'll be looking at, on a commercial refinance on conservative figures, we'll be leaving about $5,000 in, and that's turning over about $62,000 a year in rent. So that's a nice one.
Why do you think not everybody's doing this? Why is everybody not buying houses, pushing the value up and refinancing? Why do some people just save up deposits and dump their money into properties?
Knowledge, because, and like I say, you don't know what you don't know. And the HMR strategy, I may be a bit biased here, but I believe that is one of the most difficult strategies. There's so much red tape. When you're starting out, especially when you're on your own, there's so many rules and regulations that you don't know about, and you will 100% get bit with them. So once you've done the training and you know what you're doing, even now, I mean, I'm on my fifth one and I'm still learning stuff, yeah. Little tricks, you know, just to make it happen quicker and easier and get better returns. Every day is a school day.
I think the fact that HMOs are highly regulated, to me, I think it's a really good thing, because
definitely.
If it was as easy as just buying a house and then just renting the rooms out,
everybody
would do that.
Do it, yeah.
But because it's highly regulated and you need licensing, there's Article 4, potential planning, people think, oh, I don't want to touch that with a barge pole. There's also big fines, isn't there?
If
you do it wrong.
Yeah, 30 grand fine.
Like bang.
Yeah.
Or you can even go to prison.
Yeah.
Some stuff is criminal.
Yeah, which we got, not threatened with, but, but when we applied for a certificate of lawful development, the planning didn't tell us that we couldn't use it as an HMO, but they told us they weren't giving us a certificate on it, and he told us that if we did get investigated, we could be facing that. So obviously that was
what?
Up to a £30,000 fine.
Oh, I thought you were in prison.
No, well, hopefully not. I'm too pretty to go to prison.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was a big learning curve. And to be honest, when that happened, it was like before I joined Academy, and I was teaching on Edge, just thinking, I'm done with property. I'm going to go back plumbing, because I was earning good money plumbing and heating. But I was working very, very hard for it. And I knew there was going to come a time in my life when I couldn't do it anymore, when my knees packed in, or I wanted to retire. And that money would have just stopped dead. Unless I'd have built a plumbing and heating business up, which I started to do a little bit, employing people. But I soon realised that that took more time up than it did actually doing the work. And I thought, it's very difficult to make that a hands-off business. What I want with the HMO strategy is eventually to be able to hand them over to management companies, and they're pretty much passive income. So I can literally have time off, go on holiday, take kids away, see my wife, just sit at home if I want. I don't mean, I'll probably never do that, but I'd like the opportunity to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And for me, that's it with property, is if you do it right, it's very passive. It just takes a lot of work to start with.
Yeah.
And you need people in your corner. You can't do it alone. Not bother do you. And I remember you saying to me at one of the events, you said, you were going to be successful in property, whether you joined Academy or not, which I agree with. But after joining Academy, it's just sped everything up 10 times.
Right.
And position I'm in now, I think would have taken me while I was 56, in another 20, 25 years to get to. And I've done it in 8 months.
Wow.
That's why I have to pinch myself, because I'm like, is this happening?
I remember saying that to you, because I remember saying, look, you will be successful regardless.
Yeah.
But it's a case of, do you want to go on your own?
Yeah.
Or do you want to be part of a community where you've got mentors, you've got training, because that will be a lot more fun.
Definitely.
And it will be a lot faster.
And it is fun, It is fun, as well as being all the knowledge and the help that you get. It's fun. Amount of people that I've met who I like a lot and are class as friends now, that you would never meet. You can go to a networking event and meet some people, or you might think, oh, they're all right. But you don't really get to know them as such. Mm-hmm. You might swap contact details, you might have some emails back and forth, but in the Academy, you're thrown in a mix together and you're with them people a lot, and you get to know people on a real personal level.
Mm.
And I've met some really, really good people, haven't I?
How many units do you own now then?
We're just coming up to 29.
Wow, that's amazing.
And we're looking at buying another two this year.
Are you getting commercial valuations, or are you getting bricks and mortar?
We've got one which is just about to complete the refurb this week, actually, which is a 6-bed. So we're going to try on a commercial refinance on that. Obviously, 6 beds can be a little bit in a grey area, but it's full-on suited. It's over 4 floors. It'd be quite difficult to put it back to a residential. So we're confident on that to get a commercial, or at very least a good hybrid valuation.
Yes.
And then it's 10-bed, we nailed on to get a commercial on that one. That cannot go back 100%. To a residential, yeah.
The 10 bed, what are the figures then? So how much did you buy it for?
We bought it for 270.
And what was it? Was it just a house?
It was a 7 month purchase, this one. It was very sketchy. So originally it was a house, then it got changed to a HMO, then they got a classy planning on it to change it to offices, which it never actually got changed. They carried on using it as an HMO, which technically were illegal because it were down as offices. They run that then for 15 years. And then 3 years ago, they didn't renew what license on it and it was sat empty. So it was sat empty on a Class E classification. So, I know. And the property is stunning. It's such a nice looking house. But they sold off a big part of the back garden because at one point it was a hostel. So they split the title and they built a warden's house. So the back garden's really tiny, so it can't go back to a residential. So we had a long battle with council. That's why it took 7 months to actually, from offer going in to get it keys, because we needed to make sure that we could do it as a HMO, because to split it up into flats, studio apartments, which would have been as backup plan, we'd have just about rock even on it. Mm. We couldn't possibly sell it as an house, so we needed to get planning on it. And we were in an Article 4 area, very anti-HMO. It's also a conservation area, that street.
But no one would touch that with a barge pole.
I know, but because the figures are so good on it. Like I say, it's 270 or 275 we paid for it. We've got a 60 grand refurb on it.
Yeah.
And the commercial refinance on it, conservatively, we're looking at 460.
So what was the profit on that, about 100 grand?
Yeah, easy.
Over 100 grand profit.
Yeah, so figures, we leave about 5,000 in the deal.
So you'll refinance it then?
Yeah.
Talk me through the process of buying a house, refurbing it and refinancing it.
So we generally buy them at a low value, i.e. when they need a lot of work, so we can add value to it. We purchased at 270. We put a 60 grand refurb into it, so we're like 330 in. So we'll then approach a lender when it's completed. They'll send a new guy out to value it. Then we kind of like sell it back to the lender as such, and they'll release us 75% of the total value. It'll pay off all of his refurb money minus 5 grand. And then it'll leave 25% in deal on a standard HMO or commercial mortgage.
Yeah. And what do you think the profit will be on that?
Profit on that, we're looking about 35 grand a year.
Yeah, about 50% of the...
Yeah, just less. We usually knock about 40% off for bills and everything, because we do make them really well insulated, a good high efficiency heating system. I'm a gas plumber by trade, so I know what systems
you
to put in.
You just fixed that toilet?
No charge as well.
Yeah.
So I know what systems to put in just to try and keep bills down.
Yeah.
We've not been single banded on it yet. If that comes in or not, I don't know. But as of now, we're lucky with it. So yeah, we're looking mid-30s profit on it. I've joint ventured on that one as well.
So you got someone to put the money in?
Yeah.
How much did you put into that deal?
Up to now, zero.
At all? Nothing?
Nothing, no. So I'm doing all the work, the sweat equity of it.
Oh, wow.
And what I've done is we've got a contract drawn up between us that the investor gets a minimum of 75% of his money back on the refinance. And I cover him as well. So if for any reason it fell through on the GDV, on the value, if it got downvalued, which is very unlikely, but if it did, he's covered that. He gets a larger percentage, 75% of the rent income. Sure. I'll manage it as well, do any repairs until it is 75% back,
right.
And then we split it. So the investor's covered every which way.
Yes.
They can't possibly lose out. But looking at the figures, as I said, he's due to get full money back in less than 8 months.
And I think every joint venture, I mean, there's always an element of risk. With any deal you do.
Yeah, yeah.
Even driving to work, you could get you could have a car accident. There's always risk.
Yeah.
But what you need to do is you need to make sure that every joint venture, there's equal risk and equal reward.
Yeah.
So not one person's taking all of the risk. You're spreading the risk.
Yeah. My risk is obviously time.
Yeah.
Because I'm putting a lot of time into this. I mean, I'm working 6-7 days at the minute, up until late at night, ordering materials for builders, organising everything. I'm actually hands-on the project as well, more or less every day. So time-wise, I would lose a lot. The investor is obviously cash. So he don't have to come, he don't have to do anything. He's just injected the cash and just waits for his return.
Mm. How did you find the investor to put in all the money?
The first day I joined the academy, back in end of June, I signed up that day, and that evening, about 4 or 5 hours after, we had an academy dinner, which was my first academy dinner. And I went in And I was going to sit on a table with a guy who I'd been chatting with earlier that day. And he sat down and that last seat took on that table. So I'm like, oh, it's fine, I'll go somewhere else. So I looked about and I just randomly went and sat next to a guy. We sat chatting. He wanted to invest in HMOs. He weren't too sure on the strategy then, because he were brand new. He'd signed up that day as well. So I told him what we'd been doing with ours. And I said to him, well, you know, if I get any good deals at all, I'll throw me away if you want. So he said, yeah. And it was during that time that I'd then started looking at this property and found it. And then once I'd learned how to run out figures and get my ROI sheets together, didn't matter which way I put it down, it just kept coming out as a fantastic deal. And I just pitched it to him. Well, I didn't pitch it to him, I showed him it. And he was like, yeah, I'm in, straight away. And then since then, we've done another one together as well. So me and him's got two going at the moment. And on GDVs, with both of them, we're looking about 600,000.
What's the total worth or value of the whole portfolio that you've got now, the GDV on the five properties that you've got?
Conservatively, we're going to be a minimum of 1.3 million.
That must just be a little...
It's mental, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I come from a council estate, me. So them kind of numbers to me are just surreal. Honest to God, I have to pinch myself sometimes. I can't believe we're in this situation. But then my wife's like... Yeah, we're in this situation because you've put so much time and effort into it. And then obviously investment into Academy were just literally the best thing I've ever done. Because I would not be here now, no way. I'd still be doing property, but I might have got maybe another one and I'd be struggling and, you know, I'd be knocking my head on wood. And whereas now it's like, I feel like the property game is like, I'm in a corridor and there's doors everywhere. And you come up to a door and you've got to get through it. You've got to break through that door and then you come to another door. And then I joined Academy and I feel like you were there just kicking door through. Yeah. And then I just walk through it. I'm like, oh, that was easy. And then I walk through the next one and progress is just happening so fast. It's exciting. It is.
Talk to me a bit about the area that you're in, because the rules are really strict.
Yeah.
They've even got full Article 4 in there.
Yeah.
How the heck are you doing buy, refurbish, refinance to HMO? Yeah. In an area that's got complete Article 4, that's really strict, that are anti-HMOs, and making so much money. Yeah. What tricks and tips can you share?
It was very, very difficult in my area. I'm up north in South Yorkshire, and like you said, they're very anti-HMO. So I had to just learn all the legalities around it all to be able to fight fire with fire, basically. And a good strategy that we're doing is we're buying rundown HMOs that are already C4 classification.
Right.
So we've got grandfather rights on them. We're buying them at a lower value because they're run down. We're refurbing them, increasing value and pulling us money back out of it.
That's great.
So that is a
Give me
a
an
really
example of
strategy.
One of those then. And just for anyone that doesn't understand C4, so it's just the class, what the classification of the property is.
Yeah, so obviously a standard residential property is C3 classification.
Yeah, and you talked about E, that's just business. That
yeah,
means it's
E is
office
business,
or
offices, things like that. Yeah.
And C4, HMO.
C4 is HMO, so if it's already C4, or we've got historical ASTs pre-Article 4, which is another saga you have to go when you're buying them, then you've got grandfather rights to be able to keep running it as an HMO. But there is an in-between classification as well, which we found out. Because of this first one, how we got bit so heavily with it, I did a lot of digging. I got help from Academy, I got help from solicitors. We then finally nailed down that there's a classification in between it all called C3B, which even in an Article 4 area, we are allowed to legally go from C3 to C3B under permitted development. And C3B is, there's a few different examples, but one is an assisted living company can rent it off me. So this HMO that we are lumbered with, that they won't give us a certificate on to be able to refinance, we are now handing that one over to a assisted living company who are going to kind of like do a corporate let to our company. They rent it off me for a fixed amount, completely hands-off. We can then refinance it as a C3B classification and we'll be able to pull us money back out of it. And that we can do without permission as long as it's under 6 and that falls under category C3B. So yeah, we're looking forward now to moving on that one. And that might be a strategy that we look at doing permanently because we're building a relationship up with this assisted living company.
Yeah.
So that means we can start buying them in Article 4 areas. We can kit them out as an HMO, and then we can hand them over to this assisted living company.
And then we'll talk about it on YouTube, everyone will do it, and they'll change the rules again.
Exactly, yeah.
But it's
we'll
okay.
And then we'll find something else.
And then we'll find something else, and we'll share that on YouTube.
Exactly,
too. But that's the thing, I'd rather share, because yeah. I think coming from a position of abundance, so many property investors and developers, they're all these little loopholes and these little hacks, and they're
and
really...
they keep them to themselves.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think just bring everybody up with you,
yeah.
because then it's easier to grow.
Exactly.
If everybody around you is rich, it's easier to get richer. Right. So yeah, I've been sharing that with a lot of Academy members.
I know you
which
have.
They like.
And they've been loving it. And yeah. they've been feeding back to me.
I had 4 phone calls on the way down here actually about HMOs.
Wow. And even you've been so popular, we're actually bringing you down next week to just sit in a, we're going to lock you in a little mentor box.
So, yeah.
But we do that at all the events. At every program that we have, we've got like mentor boxes where if anyone's struggling, they go out, have some one-on-one time with somebody who's more experienced.
Which I did when I were brand new into Academy. Yeah. I were having mentoring calls and meetings, which were
absolutely I remember the story about your bad tenant.
Yeah, the one that we couldn't get rid of.
Talk about that. What happened?
So we bought a HMO recently, well, quite a few months ago now, which were a 6-bed, and it had got 4 sitting tenants in it, and the previous landlord had Section 21'd them all, so they had to move out by a few days after we completed, which were a bit risky. And 3 other guys moved out straight away, and one of the guys dug his heels in and he said he weren't going anywhere. So we were like, oh God. So we got a 6-bed HMO. Builders were booked in to come in on the Monday. And the Monday morning when we got there, he would not leave. And he were meant to have left like a few days before. And so we had to cancel builders. It just turned into a right saga. And obviously, you know what builders are like. If you upset them, then that's it. That bridge is burnt, innit? So we then had to go to plan B, and we looked at if we could do the refurb around him while he was still in, think on his paying no rent either. He'd not paid rent for 3 months to the previous landlord. And the council were advising him just to sit tight and not move, not give his key back.
Why would they advise him to do that?
Because he were our problem and not theirs. And they knew that as soon as he moved out, if he got nowhere to go, which obviously we're going to find it difficult because he got 3 months rent arrears swinging around his neck. So they just wanted him to stay there, basically. So we looked at if we could refurb it around him, but it just weren't logistically possible because we had to change heating system and plumbing system. We were adding on suites and stuff like that. So
that would have been a shame for him, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, but legally we've still got to provide him,
you know,
heating and hot water and that, so we can't just go in, turn water off and say, sorry, it's not going to be on for 3 months.
Because there is legislation.
Yeah, and the council would be fining us.
And it is someone's home, as annoying as it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So what did you do? What happened at that point when you've got this terrible, annoying tenant not paying any rent, potentially costing you thousands of pounds?
Yeah, so I booked a mentoring call with Sue.
Yeah.
And she, I mean, me being a Barnsley man, just wanted to go in and evict him, you know, to set a lease. And she were like, you cannot do that. Yeah. So she says, right, this is what you need to do. And basically, to cut a long story short, she got me to write up a very simple termination of deed for him to sign. And we told him he owed 3 months rent, which he didn't really owe to us anyway. He owed to previous, he only owed us about 2 or 3 weeks rent, which he'd not paid. So we said to him, you can live here for another 2 weeks, rent free, and we'll not chase you on the rent arrears if you agree to move out by said date. So we went and had a chat with him, genuinely tried to help him out, this guy. He agreed to sign this termination of deed, and then come the day we're meant to move out, he'd not gone. So legally, we could have got police in because he were there as a squatter, technically. We waited for him to leave the property, and we changed the locks, and I got all his stuff bagged up. We photoed it all first, bagged all his stuff up, put it in a van, and when he'd gone, he went up to council to go and see if they could help him out. He said he were. We don't think he were, but whatever. We then called him and said, where do you want your stuff dropping off? And he absolutely hit roof, and he come down, he brought the council with him. So we showed him this termination of deed, and they literally just went, ah, where are you going to put his stuff? And we were like, so I says, I'll store his stuff free of charge. I've got a heated garage. I says, I'll put it in there. It can stop as long as he wants until he gets his thing sorted out. So yeah, we got rid of him, but I would not have known that unless I'd booked a mentoring call and spoke to Sue. And she just made it so much easier, because alternative it would have been take him to court, Section 8, 6 months, and him not paying rent, builders are stalled, everything had just, you know, it would have gone haywire.
Yeah, it shows the power of having mentors around you, being on the academy, being able to book mentoring calls, because you never know, do you, when you might just suddenly need to, you might not need a mentoring call for a few weeks, then you suddenly need 10.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you still know. Now I'll book something, because everybody's really good at certain things.
Yeah.
No, I don't think anybody knows everything.
Yeah.
You need people around you, because there's so many strategies and so many different avenues to go down.
Yeah.
That you need a big team around you.
Yeah.
If you want to be successful.
Solicitors, accountants, experts in sales. Yeah. Sometimes people just say, I've got a deal, I'm struggling to sell it.
Yeah, yeah, because they don't know how to sell.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to have that network around you if you want to be super successful.
Yeah.
If you want to do all right in property and get to $3,000 a month coming in, you can eventually do it on your own over time, and it's going to take you a long time. But if you want to upscale and turn it into a business and make it completely hands-off, you've got to have a good structure around you to help.
Well, I'm absolutely over the moon at your success, and I'm really grateful that you're giving back, even coming on Winners on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
The golden nuggets from this one have been huge.
Yeah.
So thanks so much. What will be your final words of wisdom or words of advice to someone that's wanting to get started into property?
I could say so much, but the key is to get the knowledge and get the people around you that's gonna help lift you up. Because even in your day-to-day life, your parents and your friends who are not into property, they can't help you. As much as they might want to help you, they can't help you with the legalities and things like that. You need successful people around you to drag you up quicker. Yeah. So yeah, you need to get the knowledge. You need to just not be trying to take it all on your own shoulders like I were originally.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Barnsley man, and I thought, you know, I'll do it myself. And that does not work. You've got to have people helping you.
Well, James, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.